Welcome to the Kim Wilkes Podcast, the podcast spreading hope and awareness for victims of sexual abuse. The Kim Wilkes Co. is dedicated to promoting healing through beauty and creativity. Today's episode is going to be about what the brain does during sexual assault. It may be a surprise to some of you to learn all of the chemical reactions that happen and how that plays out for a victim in what they're able to share later on and how they're able to report or why they feel that they may not be able to report the crime to authorities. Let's get into it. Over the past year, as I've opened up about the sexual abuse, I've realized there were so many lies in my head that held me back from healing. One of the very biggest ones was this. I had to keep the abuse a secret. Obviously, I don't believe that anymore, but I can't tell you how many girls and women I've talked to who said they've never felt like they could talk about it at all. It's scary to admit. It's terrifying to report. Especially so if your attacker or attackers are still out there and you feel like it will be their word against yours or that calling them out on it would anger them and possibly endanger you all over again. Talking about the assault can be more than just scary, though. Your brain may literally be stopping you from opening your mouth. There is an article from the Arkansas Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And it talks about all of the different chemical reactions that take place in the brain when someone is raped. If you visit the blog, then you can find the link to this article. But I want to share one reaction that I personally recognized in myself. Quote, "For some victims, it is the corticosteroids, a group of steroid hormones, that have dumped out at very high levels and reduced the energy available to the body. For these victims, they don't fight back or flee the situation. Their body freezes on them because of this hormonal activation by the HPA axis. It can trigger essentially an entire shutdown in the body. This is called tonic immobility. Tonic immobility is an automatic response. It is not something a victim decides to do. Behaviorally, it is marked by increased breathing, eye closure, but the most marked characteristic of tonic immobility is a muscular paralysis. A victim in a state of tonic immobility cannot move. She is paralyzed in that state of incredible fear. Research suggests that between 12 and 50% of rape victims experience tonic immobility during a sexual assault, and most data suggests that the rate is actually closer to 50% than 12%. Unquote. And that is from the Arkansas Coalition Against Sexual Assault. In my case, this tonic immobility reaction happens during panic attacks. A simple trigger can send me right back into this paralyzed state. For many years, the mention or depiction of rape could be a trigger. It was literally impossible for me to talk about it. It took years of hearing other people's stories and slowly allowing myself to understand everything that had happened before I could face it without overwhelming fear. The other hurdle we encounter is the way the brain recollects the attack afterwards. There's an article also linked in the blog from HuffPost, which describes the reason victims' stories and memories are often fragmented and incomplete. You can go and read that, but what it'll teach you is that the very reason most onlookers dismiss victims' claims as unbelievable and scattered are exactly what makes them true. Let's talk about miscongeniality. I'm assuming you've all seen the movie, and as I thought about this sensation and reaction that happens in the brain, a scene from a movie popped into my head. So you all know the Sandra Bullock classic, but do you remember a certain conversation between the main character and Miss Rhode Island, played by Heather Burns, about a college professor? Basically, Bullock's character has taken Burns' character to a club to get drunk so she can find out if she's ever done anything illegal. Sounds like a great movie, right? But we all know what I'm talking about. So Burns' character, this Miss Rhode Island, she mentions shoplifting. And then as an afterthought, she mentions that she was once attacked by a college professor. So Sandra Bullock's character offers to show her self-defense moves, and Burns passes out because she's drunk. And then the incident with the professor is never mentioned again. So I think we can all assume that the meaning of this is that she was raped. And the way she brought it up makes it clear she felt it was her fault and that she had broken some rule. This backward thinking is super common. And while it's interesting that it was written into the script this way, I see a clear difference between this conversation and real conversations I've had with other survivors of sexual abuse. The girls and women who have come to me to talk about it are most often overwhelmed, usually in tears, telling me their story between sobs and admitting that they've never been able to tell anyone before. It's clear in the way they clench their arms into themselves that there is a chemical fight or flight response happening in their body at the mere remembrance of their attack. It's not an afterthought, as portrayed in the movie, but a secret they finally feel safe to tell. Well, at least to tell to someone else who's been in their shoes. Reporting it is still a whole other hurdle. If you feel stuck in this state and unable to talk about what happened, know that there is always hope. It may take time, but we are making strides to remove the fear surrounding this admission. One of the hardest things about this whole situation is that the state of a victim's brain prevents them from reporting the attack to authorities in a timely manner, and sometimes at all. After time has passed, it becomes more and more difficult to prove that anything happened, and these crimes go unpunished. Yes, there are rape kits, there are processes in place for victims, but how can we expect people to seek these things out when their bodies won't even allow them to accept or process what has happened? It's just heartbreaking. Still, I think a large part of improving this issue is speaking openly about the fact that it does happen and educating everyone about what to expect if it does happen to them or someone they love. It really can happen to anyone. I believe the societal shame only compounds the personal shame a victim feels and ultimately prolongs any hope of healing or reporting. Obviously, we need to be reporting these cases. If we don't, then the crimes go unpunished, rapists are on the street, and it's never going to stop. The cycle will continue. But in the cruel and unfair fashion of this crime, the only person who can report it is the victim. They're the only ones that know. The way we help is by spreading the message of love and healing so excessively that when someone finds themselves in this terrible situation, they can know that the shame they feel is a lie and that there is help readily available to them. It will take everyone lending their voice to this issue, whether they've been personally affected or not. If we want to create this change, we all have to work together. Now, I understand that you may be unsure how to lend your voice or how to help. And that's part of why I've created this podcast and my blog. And it's because I think by providing this content, by having these episodes or those blog posts that you can readily share across social media or message directly to people you love, it will be easier for you to start a conversation without it having to be so uncomfortable or without you having to find the right words. I've worked really hard to find the right words for you. So feel free always to share any of this content. I think the more we do and the more open we can be on this subject, the more it's going to help those who are struggling. If they can hear us all talking about it, it might make it easier for them to raise their hand and to let their voice be heard as well. So I just ask for your help as we continue with this series and as I delve more into all of the lies I believed that we can be sharing and helping this get to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning into the Kim Wilkes podcast. If you'd like to ensure plenty of future episodes, consider making monthly donations and becoming a listener supporter by clicking the listener support button on my Anchor podcast page. Thank you so much.